Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening. Wherever you get your podcast, rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. The time of week where we do an interview. NBA season started. Figured I'd have my man come in from Yahoo Sports, Vinny Goodwill. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, man? That's the first time you've introduced me without the platitudes of what is your name today?
Look. I just decided to ride it out. I never know who you want to be. Your little name tag right there say Vincent. You Vince on the Twitters. I just don't know who you want to be for these people.
We good. We good today. You said Vinny. That's what we're going to be today.
All right,
we
cool.
Good.
Cool. Good. I say you Vinny with me all the time. I ain't out here for none of these formalized, like, official names and all of this. Nah, man. I'm just trying to represent you in the way that you wish to be represented.
Hey, we kicking it, man. That's what we here for.
All right, man. So, NBA action.
Fantastic.
And it is here. Do you have any idea who's going to win this thing this year? Because I don't.
I do, but I'm not very confident in it.
Who you got?
The Clippers.
Okay, so maybe part of it is, A, I'm too old to just be without reservation, being out here talking about the Clippers going to win a championship. It just don't feel right coming off the tug, right? But the other thing, they got Kawhi, and we'll see what it looks like when Paul George gets back after he recovers from the shoulder surgery. After that, I don't even know if it's a handful of low spades, right?
Well, what do you need a third high spade? Not in today's league. Not now.
But if your second spade is Paul George?
Ooh.
Because, hey, we generally agree Paul George is a very, very, very good player. A tier below superstar, right, but a very good player. But I want to see your reaction to these two words. Playoff P.
Ooh.
Yeah, you see what I mean? Remember that? Remember he was playoff P?
Yeah.
And then playoff
that.
P ain't have nothing for you? Is he turning into a new person?
Well, here's the thing. He doesn't have to be the best player on the team. And right, there's a huge difference between being the guy that everything is being built around and he has to be great every night for 2 straight weeks for you to win compared to being maybe the second best player behind arguably maybe the best player in the game.
Right. Okay. But counterpoint, that first year in Oklahoma City, he was not asked to be the best player on the team. They did not require him to be the best player on the team. And that's when he said playoff P, and then playoff P looked like Paul George that we had seen in the playoffs many times before.
Well, while that's true, there's a difference in variance between a very good Russell Westbrook night and a bad one.
Yes.
Compared to a bad Kawhi Leonard night and a good Kawhi Leonard night.
Yo, what does a bad Kawhi Leonard night even look like?
Those mid-range jumpers that he was hitting. Maybe right, maybe 40% of them falling.
Right, but it doesn't even look bad. Like a bad game, because also a bad game from him is him still putting the clamps on somebody.
Yes.
But what got me about that game, and this is, and I guess it'll change when Paul George gets there. I'm going to say this, right? Everybody loves Lou Williams, right? We all love a little dude coming off the bench, getting buckets, to the point where we don't ever look up any stats or anything like that to gauge exactly how good he actually is. We got people out here talking about Lou Williams in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, right. let's see where you're going with this.
Preposterous. Lou Williams played 37 minutes in that game against the Lakers. Are you winning a championship if you need Lou Williams to play 37 minutes? And I know they don't need him to play 37 minutes a night,
right?
Right. But are you winning a championship if you need Lou Williams playing 37? And Montrezl Harrell, who I think we all think is good, but Montrezl Harrell playing 38?
Tough. Well, here's what I will say to that, and here's why I trust the Clippers over others. I think they'll probably do a better job of identifying what they don't have and what they have too much of.
Yeah.
And they can go and fix that post December 15th. Now, granted, you traded away a lot to
get Paul
George.
But they got left.
Yeah, yeah. But you still got the bones of a good team. Unlike the Lakers, who basically had to just go out there and sign free agents and hope that this mix sort of fits together. They still got, like you said, Trez. They still got Lou. You still got my man, the Black Bill Laimbeer, Pat Bev.
Oh, yeah, he's there. Except he ain't Bill Laimbeer, because Bill Laimbeer is, oh, what did I do? Patrick Beverley knows exactly what he did, and Patrick Beverley was working out this offseason in the way that we wanted him to work out, making all our dreams come true. Like, I love when I'm right. I love being right. He looked like he hooping Tibbs. Boom. Here I am on the beach. The beach in Tim.
Did you hear what someone asked him after the game?
No.
Someone said, you play a lot like Matthew Dellavedova.
No.
Yes, they did.
I mean, he's better at it.
Well, here's the thing. He says, no, I play like Pat Beverley. Well, here's the thing. He's been playing like Pat Beverley since, like, the Chicago Public School League.
That is true. Their games are similar. It's just that Beverley is way more talented than Dellavedova.
No, no, no. Just to say it. He's actually good.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes, that is correct.
We don't have to dance around it.
He is a good. Look, I think Patrick Beverley averaged something like 7 rebounds a game at Arkansas, and that told me everything I needed to know about what kind of human being we are dealing with.
He's from that place you like to call. Can't go back.
Can't go back. Here's what, K-Town in Chicago?
Man, you don't want to be around them parts.
No, no, no. And I looked K-Town up one time. I was like, oh, no, I'm good.
You don't want to be around them parts. You don't want to visit them parts. That's like Monopoly.
That's Baltic and Baltic Avenue. That's Mediterranean.
You trying to get to Boardwalk? You got to get through there first.
You're like, damn, I just passed go, and y'all trying to get me for it?
Just go to jail.
Do not.
Instead of going to Baltic, just send me to jail.
Just send me to jail. Yeah, so like, also the thing with the Clippers that is interesting, I think last season was a reminder for people that Doc Rivers actually can coach,
yes.
Right? I think that it was easy to look at the Clippers in his time in the context of what they did not do, but Doc can coach.
Well, not only can he coach, but he's really good at figuring out what you're good at.
Yes.
Like, when you take the Trezes and you take the Pat Beverleys and all these other guys, like, I think Doc would be a very good coach for the Philadelphia 76ers.
I think that's an interesting thought.
Not saying that their current coach isn't good.
Well, I am.
Oh, I mean, put it like this. If I'm Brett Brown, and not even to switch topics, if I'm Brett Brown, they better get off to a good start.
Mm-hmm.
Because what other recourse does the 76ers have? You dished out over, what, $500 million in contracts, which means you can't trade anybody until at least December. So if you don't get off to a roaring start, everybody's going to be looking at the coach like, hey, man.
Yeah, that game 6 against the Raptors that we went to, that saved Brett Brown's job.
Yep.
Because it came down to that game 7, and that's where Kawhi hit that shot, right?
Yep.
All right, that came down to game. If that does not come down to game 7, Brett Brown is there, and the Sixers are probably in a better place. My thing with the Sixers is, who can go get their own shot?
I don't know.
I don't see a single person on that roster that can go get his own shot.
Well, Tobias can get you a shot, and there's like a scout who gave me something on Tobias. He was like, well, Tobias averages 15 or 16 or 18, right? I'm like, yeah. He says, you need 10, Tobias will get you 18. You need 30.
You go get your AD.
Yeah.
He's that dude.
He's that dude. But he's talented and he's gifted in the way that he can get his shot. But you just wonder, okay, if we need a bucket outside of the framework of the offense, outside of the framework of a Ben Simmons fast break, we're getting something off the glass and going with it, where are they going to get a shot?
Well, they let that guy go.
Which I think was a mistake.
I don't. Because I think, what if they went funny on the 5th year, right? Like, that was the thing, is they did not want to guarantee the 5th year. And I'm looking at an NBA team, like, the 5th year is what you're worried about?
At this point?
Right, right. Like, you got a window here to win this, as wide open as it is. Or at the very least, you got a strong window to win the East. It's right there for you. If you got somebody that can go out there and who can get his own shot. And they don't have a single player. I am not at a place where I can look at an NBA roster and be like, nobody here can get their own shot. Y'all gonna win. You can't win a championship that way.
Nobody that can get their own shot, and you're a team who can't shoot.
There's that part.
Like, that's the part. Like, last night, and I was wholly impressed with their defense. Like, their length. They're just long. And granted, Kemba Walker's my height, right? Yeah. And I'm 5'10", so I don't fall under your short man's, you know, complex.
No, you're just not that tall.
No, I'm
that's
not.
All.
No. And I'll take that, because I wasn't always 5'10".
You had to achieve that.
Yeah. This, look, man, you can't rain on this
ain't nobody
parade.
Got nothing to say about 5'10". 5'10" is cool.
This is like Deion Sanders with his newfound hair.
Yeah, you're the 40. That's 5'10" is the 40-degree day of height.
We good.
Yes.
Nobody's going to complain about it. Nobody's going to be happy about it. So when I was looking at that last night and watching Kemba Walker be miserably defended by all of that length, all of that width, I'm like, okay, they're going to stop you from scoring. Most of the time, the problem comes in May and June. And if they don't get a shooter and they don't get a score, they're going to be out in the second round again, even though they could be, on paper, the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, see, it's an interesting upgrade, because Pablo made this point on our conference call this morning that the Sixers got killed by little guards last year. And then they went out there and they put those clamps on Kemba Walker, right?
Matisse Thybulle. Last night.
Yeah, who is that? I just saw his name in the recap. I ain't never heard of that dude before.
Second round pick from Washington. He was supposed to be a first rounder and slid.
Ooh.
So they got him on the blue box. And he was in Kemba's shirt all night.
Yeah, see, I don't, Here's what I looked at, and I watched some of that game. I didn't get to watch all of it because the World Series going on and all that stuff. The thing that gets me about Boston is it feels like Stevens has basically just swapped out Kyrie for Kemba Walker and is still trying to run this four-guard offense. And I just don't know if you can do that in the NBA.
Well, here's the thing. You just gave Jaylen Brown that money, right? You still have to justify this whole Gordon Hayward thing.
Yes.
You still want to make this work, and your best player is probably Jason Tatum. So you don't have a choice but to run out all these wings and try to stagger their minutes. But I don't know. Here's the thing. You signing Jaylen Brown means that the Gordon Hayward experience is probably over, right?
Hold on. You see how many shots Jaylen Brown took last night?
He only played 20 minutes.
Right, but you see how many shots he took?
Like six.
Six. He took six shots. Gordon Hayward, by the way, looking more like the Gordon Hayward we had seen before than he had at any point last year. Like, wait, maybe the physical recovery has taken place.
Wait, do you mean the Gordon Hayward that people said was better than playoff P. Paul George?
Okay, and now here's the thing. Yes, the guy they said was better than Paul George. I ain't never say that dumb Somebody else did, right? I ain't never do that. But, you know, yeah, that Gordon Hayward. But he looked, we have to say, though, I could see that Gordon Hayward that was out there last night and say to myself, oh, I see why you gave that guy $30 million a year. I couldn't say that about the one I saw last year.
Well, it takes 2 years to come back from that type of devastating injury. Who knows what happens, how they play, if he doesn't turn his foot sideways.
Absolutely correct.
But there's still a ceiling if Gordon Hayward is your second best player.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So wait a minute. You're saying Jason Tatum's their best player?
He has to, put it like this. For them to maximize whatever they're going to be, he has to be their best player, right?
Right, but how about this? Is Gordon Hayward their... So Gordon Hayward and Kemba Walker, I think we say, are their 2 and 3.
Right.
Assuming best case scenario, Gordon Hayward.
Right.
They're their 2 and 3. If either of them is your third best player, I do think you're in a pretty good situation. My thing with Gordon Hayward is back to getting your own shot. Last time I saw Gordon Hayward for real in the playoffs, Joe Johnson was the guy that Utah was leaning on to go out there and get his own shot. And I have always taken that as a staggering indictment of Gordon Hayward.
Well, if you're a wing, like, that's the money position at this stage. If you're between 6'6 and 6'9, you better be able to get your own shot if you're on that end of the floor. And if you can't, you better be a knockdown, standstill shooter. And I don't even know if he's that.
No, he's not.
Like,
he's just white.
Is that what it is?
But yeah, he's just white.
We just look at him on the playground. Shooter!
We assume that they ain't letting no white dude on the court if he can't shoot. We assume that nobody is ever going to find out about the other things you can do unless you can shoot, because we brought you out here to shoot. It's kind of like how when you go on, like, Rivals, and maybe this has changed over the years, but you used to go on the recruiting sites and look at the dual threat quarterbacks,
yep.
And it would be salt and pepper. It'd be a mix. You go to the pro style quarterback, and it is nothing but white dudes. Why? Because they not letting you play quarterback if you not fast. And that's what I wonder about, like, the assumption that's made about Gordon Hayward.
So are you saying Danny Ainge looked at him and said, that's a tall, strapping, stand-in-the-pocket white guy that can hit a three?
You know, well, everybody else is, right? Like, it's not, like, I'm trying to think who else kind of falls in that category. You'd be like, yo, that's not really how he plays. Like, Tyler Hero, I feel like, who can shoot?
Right?
Tyler Hero's out there like, nah, I had to do all this other stuff to make them understand how I got down.
I got wiggle. I got wiggle.
I'm ready for the Tyler Hero experience.
Oh, that's going to be NBA. Fun. That's going to be fun.
You saw what he did to Grayson Allen?
Yes.
Little white-on-white crime?
Yes. I saw that. That was white-collar crime.
That was definitely white-on-white. That was definitely white-on-white crime. And the thing that made it so hilarious as white-on-white crime goes, he ain't even really cook him. Like, Grayson Allen just fell down. And I guarantee you this, man. Tyler Hero walk in the gym, and they're like, yo, Grayson Allen's guarding you. He like Larry Bird. This is an insult.
How dare you?
How dare you underestimate me?
How dare you put a white guy on me?
Yes.
You better put your best athlete on me.
This white guy, no less. Like, I bet that's the white guy that Tyler Hero hates more than any other white guy, is that one right there.
Is that the white guy that would throw the tantrums and would get the...
Yeah.
And be the coach's pet type of thing?
Yeah, here's what I'm asking you. Imagine in your head who Grayson Allen runs with in these streets. Now imagine in your head who Tyler Hero's running with in these streets.
We got Angel on left shoulder.
Yeah.
Something else on the right shoulder.
Yeah, I have all the Tyler Hero stuff. Did you see his, like, at the draft, his pops?
No, I don't remember that.
none of this makes sense. I need to know where Tyler Hero was radicalized, right? Like, I need to know what websites he was going to become the dude he did, because this did not come from his home, and he is from, like, suburban Milwaukee or outside Milwaukee, not the actual Milwaukee.
Oh, so he was hanging around brothers his whole existence.
Well, I'm trying to figure out where he met him. Like, that's what I'm saying. He's not actually in Milwaukee. He's in, like, the fringes.
But you got to think, probably at least some form of AAU.
Yeah, yeah, definitely that. But here's the thing. That's, like, the most segregated city in America.
Absolutely.
And so I just need to know at what point Tyler Hero was like, nah, dawg, this is going to be the way I kick it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need to know when this happened.
Well, my thing is, when he went home and changed... Like, what was the parents' reaction? Like, son, who are you? We don't even recognize you
anymore.
Right,
because he's like a whole nother level past Travis Kelce. Like, I've wondered where Travis Kelce got radicalized. Tyler Hero is in that same boat where I'm just like, yo, how and when did this happen? Or does he go home and turn into like a completely different person?
Nah, and even if he did, guess what? He's in Miami now.
Well, that's the other part, too.
Like, that's a reality show.
I remember during the draft, somebody was like, yo, what's the best cop for a Tyler Hero? My answer was quick. Scott Storch.
Ooh.
He is Scott Storch. Ooh. Like them crazy Versace shirts, them big old chains and everything else. Like, he is Scott Storch.
I was going to say, like, remember the wide Tupac walk?
Yes. Yes. That's Tyler Hero. He going to be down there with Jimmy. I want UD to take him around and show him how Miami really gets down.
You think he ain't already did that? It's been training camp.
It's a good question.
UD is probably already taking him around the 305.
Yeah, that could be it. I want to know all of it, man. He's down there in Miami. He's like 19.
Dude, can you imagine the type of initiation that he's eyes wide open?
Here's my question. Can he be a fan favorite?
Ooh, does he have too much flavor to
That's
be a fan favorite?
That's what I'm saying. Has he moved out of the range where he can be the fan favorite? Because, like, Birdman was a fan favorite, right? But Birdman, even though Birdman got his own steez, Birdman got a different game than Tyler Hero. Like, Birdman is still, in the end, kind of a garbage man. Tyler Hero's out here like, nah, ISO, baby.
He out here cooking.
He's good, too.
No, I like him. I thought when they got him, I was like, wait a minute. Pat might have something here.
He's good.
Look, if you out here and you got Deion Waiters mad at you, can you imagine how mad Deion Waiters is to be on the Instagram talking about, ha, Tyler Hero better than me?
Yeah, no, Deion Waiters over here like... Man, you know what this is.
Politics.
Yeah, exactly. You know what's going on here. Him and Pat, they both went to Kentucky. You know what I'm saying? You see what this is. Like, that guarantee, he be talking all kind of noise about that dude. And I would say when he's not around, except I think he be saying that when he's around.
Oh, he said it in the locker room. That locker room is a small place, man.
Well, I also have always imagined about Deion Waiters. He's like the most likely man in the league to drop one of my favorite quotes ever from making the band from your boy Fred. I feel as though y'all are trying to assassinate my career. Like, tell me that's not something you can imagine D.I. Way to say it.
I thought we was going to get the other top five quote from the band.
Which what?
Who's your five favorite rappers?
Oh, yeah, and all that too. D.I.
Because I spit that hot fire,
That hot fire. Nobody loves Dion more than Deion Waiters does. It's not even close. Miami want him out of there so bad.
And I got them third in the East.
Really?
Yep.
All right, so let's think about who they trotting out here, right? So they got Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
They got Hassan Whiteside out of there, though he looked okay last night in that game against Denver, from what I saw. All right. You know, not bad. Who else we trotting out here? They traded Josh Richardson.
Justice Winslow is still there.
He is.
I'm still in on Justice Winslow. I don't even remember if you were really high on him like that.
I'm in on him if the expectations are reasonable.
Okay.
Like, I think he's a good defender. I think he can do things.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a great player. And I'm still holding against him all that kicking people that he did at Duke.
Well, consider the environment that he was around.
I'm just saying, he got a lot of Grayson Allen in him as a player based on what I saw at Duke. And don't nobody really come out there with it because he is not white. If he was a white dude at Duke, kicking it like he did at Duke, we would hate him.
That's true.
He'd be like Lance Thomas, same situation. We would have hated. Is he still in the league, by the way?
I think Lance is still out here collecting checks.
If you were to ask me 10 years ago if I would make a reference to Lance Thomas, 8-year NBA veteran in 2019, there's no way in the world that I could have ever given you that.
Lance Thomas, who made the U.S. select team 1 year.
That's politics. That's politics right there. That is nothing but politics.
That's the one time I've heard in the NBA locker room a player say that to me. Because I would name X player and I'd be like, hey, your man's Lance Thomas. You know what that is. I'm like, you know what, you're right.
Yo, when Lance was at Duke toward the end, Krzyzewski confidently said that Lance was going to be an NBA player. And little did I know how dedicated Krzyzewski might have been to being right. That he would make sure that Lance Thomas stuck around.
He's making every call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you need an extra locker room guy? I got one for you.
But let me tell you what's wild about that. That team that won that championship in 2010, the starting lineup was Nolan Smith, John Shire, Kyle Sengler, Lance Thomas, and Brian Zubek. Not an impressive championship team. Not an impressive NCAA year. However, Lance Thomas has been as impactful as anybody else in the NBA. Like, Nolan Smith washed out. John Shire got hurt. Brian Zubek, LOL. Kyle Sengler, just kind of there.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be a better NBA player than he's proved to be. Just kind of there. Lance Thomas, figuring it out.
Man, is he like the George Lynch of that 93 North Carolina team?
Well, no, because George Lynch was like the best player on that team. Lance Thomas is out there setting screens, getting bored.
That sounds so bad.
But he was.
That sounds so bad.
But hey, man, still in the league.
But that's what he's doing when he's in the league, except he's doing it in practice.
He's also, I don't think, ever played on a team worth a damn. Like, he stayed playing with, like, the Knicks. Did he play for the Grizzle for a little bit?
Yep. I'm trying to think, where is he at now? I feel like he's on a good team right now.
Good for him.
I feel like he's on a good, I feel like we hopefully glad we're not playing a game of who he play for.
Oh, yeah, no. We did. He's still in the league last week. It wasn't that easy. Yeah, who he play for, I can't do. I can give you generally if he's in the league. Who he play for, that was tricky. Who else we got in these, though? What you thinking about Milwaukee?
I think Milwaukee is in an interesting position because I think Giannis is at the point where I don't think he's looking to leave or anything like that. I genuinely think that he's looking at that place like, this is the one place that I've been. Let's try to figure this out here. But how many more leaps can we expect from Giannis? Because look at where he came from. How many guys have gone from not even being a rotation player to being the MVP? Like, normally you can see Steph and just see the game and everything else and how the game is going. You can see James Harden. James Harden was a number three pick, even though he sat on the bench, but he was a number three pick, right? But he made two big leaps to become an MVP player. Giannis has made like four.
Right. Well, the thing with him is there is an obvious leap that's left for him to make, and that's shooting. And if he gets a jump shot, it's canceled Christmas. But I think a mistake that we often make as NBA observers is we think that just any old body can shoot, right? That we can just get anybody in the gym and have them shoot 1,000 jumpers a day, and they become a shooter. And that's not really how this works. Some guys are never going to get it. No matter how many times you throw Jason Kidd out there as the example of somebody being able to figure out how to shoot, there's no guarantee that you're going to turn into a shooter. Now, the thing with him is he just needs to be a credible shooter,
right,
where people can't just pack in the lane against him.
Well, here's the thing with Jason was that Jason became a really good standstill shooter, and he always had good form.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, some guys have terrible form and can shoot. Some guys have good form and can't shoot worth a damn. Giannis's form is kind of funky, and you don't want him to focus so much on that it takes away from everything else that he does well.
That is true.
So he's kind of in a trick bag, and I think most people think Giannis has got another leap left because he's, you know, because he's at the age that he's at and guys don't hit their prime until they're, you know, 28 to 32 or whatever the case may be. I think he's closer to what he's ultimately going to be, which is a phenomenal player, than everybody who's saying, wait until he gets a three-point shot. No. Let's just look at this guy now and say, all right, even if he hits it from 16.
Yes.
That makes things so much better.
Yeah, no, this doesn't need to be a three-point shot, right? It needs to be a credible jumper. That's what you need.
I mean, put it like this. He is, as a shooter, think about this, he is, as a shooter, what we want Ben Simmons to be.
Yes.
He at least takes the shot where you got to put a hand up, where you got to at least rotate the defense when it comes to him. Ben Simmons won't do that. But when you're talking about Milwaukee, how much of their team building is built around Giannis becoming a three-point shooter? Because if that's the case, I'm afraid that has a very hard, like, limit on it.
Well, who else they throwing out there? Chris Middleton's out there. They picked up Robin Lopez. Brooke Lopez still out there. And I don't know how sustainable this new Brooke Lopez, like, three-point shooting thing. I don't fully know how this is going to, like, shake out. We've seen guys have those one-year wonders on that before.
Mm-hmm.
Brogdon went to Indiana.
So you got Bledsoe on the new money that they signed before the playoffs, hoping that he wouldn't turn into the Eric Bledsoe that he turned into
yes.
after game two of the conference finals.
Yes.
So if Chris Middleton is your second best player, as opposed to your third best player, how good can you be?
The thing, though, I feel okay about Middleton being – I feel okay with Middleton being your second-best player if your third-best player is somewhere in the neighborhood of Middleton just because of what the things are that Middleton does. And I don't feel like Middleton can get his own shot, but I do feel like he can get you 30.
Well, it's not even so much that he can get his own – that he can or can't get his own shot, but he's such a low-maintenance number two.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there isn't going to be much variance between him having a really, really – night and him having a great night. He can get you 30 and it'll look the same way that if he gave you 11.
Right.
You know, the shot just going in and out or whatever. He's still gonna play good defense, still gonna make good decisions, all this other type of stuff. He's not gonna have those spectacular nights that takes over when Giannis can't, that elevates everybody else.
Right.
But he's still an all-star type of player.
Yeah, I mean, the Bucks, I felt this watching them last year. They reminded me of the 94 Rockets.
Ooh.
Throw the ball into Akeem, four guys standing outside waiting on somebody to get a three. Now, the rules are different and everything else, so you can't play exactly the same way, but that is, in effect, what they're doing with Giannis. Like, Giannis can do these things on the break and on the perimeter, but they are probably at their best when if he starts on the perimeter, gets inside for whatever reason, and now we get the ball back out, and now it's swinging around, and now we see who the person is that can get the shot.
Well, the thing is that got me, like, last year they won over 60-plus games, and everything went right. And we talk so much about how close Philly got without that shot. Milwaukee was up 2-0.
Yeah.
And had Kawhi looking dejected at the end of game two when you get blown up by 20. If they handle business, I think it was a game four, they're probably the NBA champs.
Yeah.
Like, the margins are that thin because, you know, KD being out and everything else and Golden State being at the end of the run, they would have been in the right place at the right time, and we wouldn't have thought anything less of them becoming champs because we didn't think anything of Toronto being champs.
Right. Well, it's going to be an interesting look at how much coaching matters, because I think all of us would agree that Budenholzer is a better coach than Nick Nurse and certainly a better coach than Brett Brown. Right. Nick Nurse looked awful at points last year. Now, to be fair, he can get better because that was his first year as a coach. But if the coach matters as much as we like to think coaches matter, Milwaukee should win the East.
They should. Well, put it like this. I have Milwaukee winning the East. I say that there's no excuse for Philadelphia not to win the East,
right,
from a talent standpoint, but I have best player wins. I keep it simple. Best player wins. As long as you got competent coaching and nothing catastrophic happens, best player wins. I still think that's Giannis.
Yeah.
Even though Embiid can be MVP, defensive player of the year, all this other type of stuff, I'm going with a guy who I know his body can hold up. And I don't got to worry about him not playing 75 games or 80 games or whatever the case may be. I'm going to go with Giannis. And then on top of that, I don't think the Bucks feel like they have to win 60 games this year.
No. I think they did it because they could, right? Now, the thing with Embiid is Embiid wants to be the MVP. And I do think for them to win, he needs to be like MVP good. But I still feel like he is a better defensive player than he is an offensive player.
Absolutely.
I think he's a very good offensive player. But defense, he flips it up. Like, we watched him out there struggling, laboring last postseason, whether he was sick, whether it was some kind of injury, whatever it was. And even if he couldn't get you buckets, he affected everything just by being in the paint.
He changes it.
Just his very existence being out there flips everything up. But I still think we're at a place with him where if you get the ball to him in the post, it's still going to take him three dribbles. And if somebody guarding him is as strong as him, and it doesn't have to be a great player. It can be Aaron Baines.
Mm-hmm.
And if Aaron Baines can stand there and he bangs against Aaron Baines three times, there ain't no bucket coming.
Well, here's the thing. That's the one thing that Chuck said. You need two moves and a counter.
Two moves and a counter.
And he doesn't have that counter yet. And even if he goes to it, it's so mechanical. You see it coming. Remember how Pat Bev was going on the weak side on Anthony Davis? He knew where Anthony Davis was going to go.
Right.
Not saying that you're going to come across that type of thing, but if Anthony Davis, who's quick twitched and moving on his spin and you can't see it coming, what do you think is going to happen with Embiid, who's bigger, who's more lumbering when he tries that spin move? Someone's going to come across the weak side and snatch that thing.
Yeah, and I also want to know who's in charge in Philly, right? Like, somebody's got to be the guy in charge. And that was the thing about Jimmy. We knew who the guy was.
Jimmy was like, hey, if nobody's in charge, guess who's
in charge? I'll be charged. Right, right. Say, oh, but look, I looked around here and I saw nobody was in charge. We haven't gotten to the Nets yet after Kyrie put up a Fitty Burger last night. He hit him with the slip and slide.
Bruh, the outright arrogance to try that.
Not mad.
At that point.
Not mad.
Hey, you better make it.
Not mad. You know what? Here's the thing. I agree with you on you got to make it, but here's why I'm not mad. Got a good shot. He just missed it, right? It's not like he didn't get a good shot.
He got a great shot.
He got a great shot.
He got a good, his body got squared up to the rim. Like, that's the thing. When you do something like that, you got to recalibrate your balance.
And he did it.
And he did it.
He just missed the shot. And sometimes you just go miss the shot. But he did that and got himself a good shot. And what was wild about that, because I have always been critical of Kyrie in that no matter how bad things are going around him, he's just going to get buckets, right? And it gets skewed what your impression is of him. They were plus 18 with him on the floor in that game. It was the bench that had these horrible plus-minus numbers when they got out there. Spencer Dinwiddie was not looking so great, and that's going to be fun to watch as he's looking at Kyrie like, this dude.
I got him here, though. That's who got him there.
Oh, that's right. Let me tell you, for now. For now.
That's who got him there.
For now. I didn't see, we didn't see that movie.
Oh.
Right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. My question is, what we going to see out of Kyrie? If the first game is any indication that this is going to be the Kyrie show, how good is a team with Kyrie left to his own devices?
Well, what's it going to look like if Kyrie's playing like that but not having the night that he had? Right? 50 points on 33 shots. Nobody had nearly as many shots as Kyrie did. But if he's going to be playing like that, then he should take 33 shots. Is he going to take 33 shots when he's not rolling like this? And then what happens from there?
Who's going to tell Kyrie no? Who has the equity with Kyrie? And who has the equity within the league, within what they've accomplished, from Kenny Atkinson, Sean Marks, anybody on the bench, to tell Kyrie, we can't kick it like this forever?
Oh, the guy that's in rehab right now?
Oh, he's going to say something?
Yes.
Oh, he's going to say something to Kyrie?
Durant, yes.
Wait, he's going to say something to Kyrie, and Kyrie's going to listen.
Well, that's where it becomes interesting. That I don't
Mister, have. I'm going to protect him.
Right, but that's what I don't have the answer for, right? But I do think that Durant being like, hey, dog, chill out here. Like, I'm right here. I think at this, I also think Kyrie means well. And so I'm willing to entertain the possibility that, like, he could hear Durant maybe under those circumstances.
Okay. How about this? Let's do something. You tell me what KD will say, and I will tell you word for word what Kyrie will say in response.
You got to keep the ball moving, baby.
I hear you. KD, I have something for you. A man who sleeps on the floor cannot fall out of the bed. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your Kyrie proverb of the day.
Oh, Kung Fu Kyrie. Yo, when they had Kung Fu Kyrie out there talking about China, everybody in the league, their booty had to be so tight. I can't imagine how tight their booty was when they started asking Kyrie new questions about China. Oh, no. Like, if I was in that meeting and Adam Silver and Kyrie gets up and says, I don't think we should play or do interviews. You are right, right? In fact, I might have been like that and let Kyrie leave the room and be like, all right, the rest of y'all can do interviews. But you, sir, no. We can't have this. Then he got out there talking about the four forces of the world and everything else. I'm like, ah, Kung Fu Kyrie.
I call him Fortune Cookie. Because whatever he says, I swear, it comes out of a fortune cookie.
He means well.
That's fine.
See, I'm a little older than you.
You know who else means well? Daryl Morey.
Fair. Now, here's the thing. I'm a little older. I'm not a lot older than you at this point, right? Like, as we all get older, our ages get closer, right? I'm a little older than you. I realize, though, I'm at the point in my life where I look at a dude like Kyrie, and I do view it through a prism of, hey, man, young dude just out here trying to figure it out, right? I'll clown him when he says ridiculous things, but I do feel like he means well.
You getting a little soft?
No, even last year I was like that with him. Where I just look at it and I was just kind of like he would have these moments of clarity where he'd be like, yeah, I got this wrong. You know, I was messing up on this. I really do think that he means well. I'll be curious to see how he kicks it with these guys on the Nets, like what he learned from the last gig. I think the Nets, if they were going to bring Kyrie in, they really needed to do what it took to keep Jared Dudley. Because I think that Jared Dudley is a dude that could be like, hey, man. Let me talk to you for a second about this, right? Or Jared Dudley could be the guy to go talk to everybody else and be like, yo,
chill.
I'll go talk to him. No, you're right. I'm going to go holler at him, you know.
Well, here's the thing. I do think Kyrie took an inordinate amount of the blame in Boston last year. I do think that we did not look at, well, I did. I wrote it. I don't think that we looked at Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens enough to say, you guys did not handle this situation. You weren't equipped to handle this situation the way, and you left Kyrie out there to dry.
Yeah.
Because you knew what Kyrie was when you traded for him.
Well, I think I am high on Stevens as a coach generally, right? And certainly as a tactical coach, I am high on him.
But this is a people business.
This is a people business, and this is the NBA. And I do think that he is trying to run a college-type system. To be fair, Steve Kerr is running a college-type system. Just the idea that everybody eats, right? Like the ball is going to get to whoever's supposed to get the shot, and then everybody's going to eat. And the NBA doesn't really work that way. You build your team around your best player. Like whatever your best player does, this is what we do.
Well, the problem now is for Boston, who is easily identifiable as their best player. We're saying Jason Tatum should be or has to be, but is he?
Nobody is. Nobody is. Nobody on that team like rises up and like, oh, that is our best player. I'm trying to think of anybody else in the East. Oh, yeah, the defending champions. Anyway, good job winning that one game. But really, hey, no disrespect. I do think, though, Indiana, when everybody's back, like when Oladipo is back.
Yes.
This can be a thing.
Well, not just that. You got Oladipo and Brogdon in your backcourt, which means two guys who can both play on the ball or off it and be easily credible on the defensive end.
Yeah.
Then you got those two bigs.
Yes.
Like Sabonis.
I like Sabonis.
I like him a lot.
Miles Turner, who's getting older, right? Like he's becoming a grown man now.
He's a much better player than I thought he was going to be.
I always was encouraged. Like, I wasn't sure exactly what it was going to be, but also, what we had to realize with Miles Turner was our impression of what NBA basketball had to catch up to what it had become. And once you realize what NBA basketball is now, a shot blocking 3-point shooter, that feels different. He's a guy that you might think is soft. Like when you, at first glance, I don't have any evidence in one direction or another.
Right.
But at first glance, he a dude that we could be hard on just looking at him.
We can.
And
but then you got Nate McMillan, who isn't Sarge in Chicago, but he ain't the dude to trifle with either.
He's scrappy. He's scrappy. I forgot about old Sarge. Hey man, the Bulls talking like they like Sarge. I'm just saying, it sounds a little happier around Sarge. Are you hearing different things? We had Wendell Carter in here. He said he was okay with Sarge.
Cause he didn't play for Sarge last year. He only played 44 games.
That is true.
It's a whole lot different when you're watching it from the sidelines and you're rehabbing. Hey. Y'all should listen to him. It sounds like he's saying some good stuff in that. Shut up, rookie.
Yeah, Sergeant Boylan. He's over there. This is how much is going on in the NBA. We've been talking for like 35 minutes. We got all the way through the East. We haven't said the word LeBron James yet.
Old LeBron James?
Is he old LeBron James? I saw a couple flashes of young LeBron James in that game against the Clippers.
Here's what I saw that made me think. Not old, but older LeBron James. He flinched a couple times. And you don't flinch. Like, LeBron never flinched. Like, Pat Bev being in his face, Kawhi being in his chest.
Yeah.
Like, you become, like, someone told me, well, yeah, LeBron came and he lost a few pounds or whatever. He lost weight or whatever. Okay, cool. You know who else lost weight? Muhammad Ali before he fought Larry Holmes.
Damn.
I'm not saying he's bad, but I'm just saying the whole.
I understand. So, this is my thought on what the Lakers are ultimately going to have to do. Both LeBron and Anthony Davis are going to need to do the things that they don't want to do. LeBron doesn't want to play the four. He needs to play the four. Anthony Davis doesn't want to play the five. It is imperative that he plays the five. They have no chance of success if Anthony Davis doesn't play the five. Or their other fives need to be able to do different stuff. They need to be able to do stuff outside to take the charge circle, which JaVale and Dwight, looks cooked.
I was going to say the other thing. I thought Dwight looked good.
Really? Because when I looked, I thought he looked cooked.
I thought Dwight looked light on his feet.
Now he does look lighter.
He got his dunk blocked from behind by Kawhi, but the things that you're asking Dwight Howard to do at this stage are things that he should be able to do in his sleep.
Yeah. The man's had double-digit rebounds every year of his career, right? Like, I mean, I think he has been a better player in this last stretch. People just don't like him. What's your read on that, by the way?
Why don't people like Dwight?
Yeah.
Because you ever have a friend, and I have a friend like this, I won't say his name. You have a friend who's a completely likable human being, but jokes at the wrong time, doesn't understand tone of the moment of conversation, and you kind of just have to hit the refresh button. And every now and again, I gotta cuss this friend out. And I'm sure when he's listening to this podcast, he's like, oh, Vinny's talking about me. Yes, I'm talking about you.
Oh, I'm glad it's somebody else. I thought you were talking about me.
No. There's just a friend that you have who's immature. Means, like you said, means well.
Right.
But you're like, man, come on, grow up, please.
Yeah.
Can you stop trying? And Dwight's thing is, I just want everybody to like me and be happy. Dude, we in a grown man business. Get in the weight room. Go on, do something.
Everybody I've talked to has had this same answer. I've never seen anybody be more hated for being corny Like that, like that's really what it comes down to. Pretty much. People don't like him because they think he's corny. I've never, ever, ever seen anybody where, especially somebody this good. I've never seen anybody where this has been the case. I think Kobe also really tainted it forever, with him. But like his time in Houston, he balled in Houston. And that year that they got to the conference finals,
yeah,
he played better than Harden did in that Western Conference Finals. Like Dwight, that's nothing about Dwight. Dwight's been a guy who historically has been better in the postseason. All this stuff. I got people in these streets saying that Dwight shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Man, when I hear that, I think people should be disqualified from talking about basketball.
Ever. Ever.
That's like your man's in Charlotte talking about Steph Curry, not a Hall of Famer. Hey, come take this tequila.
Did you call him my man's? You can't even say his name.
Are you
so Detroit?
No. Mike is cool. It's the other one I ain't really speaking too highly on. Mike is cool. It's a sidekick. I don't mess with the sidekick too much. I respect Mike.
Are you afraid of Pip? You down on Pip?
You know, migraine headache.
Oh, you still talking about the migraine.
Sitting Bull.
You still, oh, I didn't know that's what y'all called him.
Sitting Bull.
You still talking about the migraine.
Why not?
Because it was 30 years ago.
The Bulls fans still talking about the walk-off like it happened yesterday. I can't talk about the migraine.
You were so Detroit. Oh, I forgot about him sitting on the Kukoc shot. Yeah.
Oh, you know what else? As a PS to Pip's greatest hits, 15-point lead in the fourth quarter against the not-yet-quite-ready Lakers.
I think it was 18 points, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was an even bigger lead than you gave it credit for being.
All you got to do is basically hold the ball for 24 seconds every time down, hit a couple free throws, and you're going to the finals in the least-watched finals of all time with Portland, Indiana.
Portland, Indiana. You know who Sheed holds that against, though? A man he calls Dumb Levy.
Oh my God.
He said on this podcast, then Dumb Levy. He called him Dumb Levy like Gabe was here. He called him Dumb Levy like 8 times in the course of the interview. Oh, Dumb Levy. But yeah, yo, there's Pip. But LeBron, so let me.
How did we get there?
I have no idea. I've completely forgotten already. So this is my read right now on the Lakers. They need to open it up so that if you're going to run that, and Pablo Mesa's point, if you're going to run the LeBron, Anthony Davis pick and roll, then you need some space in the lane and that the other dudes are going to wind up messing up that space. Danny Green is like the perfect addition for them as a guy to have. But they kind of need LeBron to be the point guard right now.
But you can't
have LeBron as the point guard.
You can't. He can't be your point guard.
He can't be. He needs to move. That game needs to move inside or move more toward inside and as a point forward kind of role. Like LeBron's thing, we're going to run the offense through Anthony Davis. No, it's okay if Anthony Davis is your primary scorer. But the offense needs to be run through LeBron James.
Well, here's the thing, and Magic got clowned for this last year whenever they signed LeBron.
Yeah.
And he said, we don't want everything being run through LeBron.
We need other playmakers.
And I thought that was a great point that he got clowned for. LeBron is better when there's other people around who can make plays. Now, who those players are, now you got to go out there and find the right guys. But LeBron being the point guard and the only guy who can create a shot on your first five, that's not going to work out well.
Yeah, that's my thing. Somebody else has to be able to get a shot for somebody. And, like, Rondo can't be the guy that you're leaning on. Like, you know, first game is just the first game, whatever. We'll see what it looks like when Kuzma gets there or whatever it is. But, like, after watching LeBron and Lonzo last year, I got a different vantage on this idea of, like, having other people. Because you think about this. The moment that season went off the rails for the Lakers last year, quiet as it's kept,
Lonzo
got hurt. And I don't know if you watched that game. When he got hurt, he was cooking.
I'm not even a guy that's like this, that guy, but Lonzo's my pick for most improved player this year.
I can see it.
Like, I'm very high on him. Like, when you strip away all the expectations and you strip away the dad and all this other type of stuff, you have a very good basketball
player. Who only shoots 40% from the free throw line. And that to me is the one where I'm like, I don't understand. Like, he's going to be, he could wind up at some point in his career being a better 3-point shooter than a free throw shooter. And that's with him not even being that good a free 3-point shooter.
Well, I wonder if him changing that form helps everything.
It could. And for his sake, I hope it does.
Because I think it's a mental thing as opposed to anything else. Now that he's confident in whatever he's doing, I think all that other type of stuff is going to filter down.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of most improved player, has anybody ever won most improved player 2 years in a row?
Wow.
Because did you see Siakam on Tuesday night?
He's real.
I had no idea that this was going to ever be possible. We're like, we're going to give the ball to Pascal Siakam. And he's going to come out here. Like, it's like a Kawhi Leonard situation, right? Like, young Kawhi Leonard There was no way to think that it was going to turn into this. Like, I remember I was like, oh, Kawhi's so great. I'm like, yeah, well, let's see what happens when you need him to go get buckets for you. Then he had that postseason, the last one he played in San Antonio, where he cooked the Grizzlies. And I was like, oh, I did not know that this is what it's going to be. Siakam could be that.
Well, here's the thing. Remember with Kawhi, when Pop was saying, well, you know, when Tim Duncan retires, we're going to turn this thing over to him. And I'm like, wait, the same dude? Like, this is that dude? The dude in the Air Max 93s?
Right.
I didn't see it.
I didn't see it in college. I didn't see it when he was Finals MVP.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't see any of it at that point. And
2 years, like 2 years later.
Right.
You saw it.
Now look at Siakam, where there's nobody else to give the ball to. And he went out, he put up 30 and 18.
Yeah, man, he, and dude, when I was at the Finals, and I was like, oh my God, he's running circles. Circles. Around, don't get me wrong. Kawhi Leonard was the MVP of that whole thing, right? Yes. And he was getting the tough buckets. He was getting like the running back four yards. Siakam was running them 15-yard slants, baby.
Let me tell you this about Siakam. I hate to guard him. He always looked like he about to elbow you in the face. He gangly as hell. Like, his whole thing, he looked like Morris Day. Yeah, doing the bird. I wish, by the way, you guys could have actually witnessed this because Vinny can vouch for it. I did, in fact.
He did the bird.
Do the bird. He I just read bird. That Morris Day book yesterday.
Oh.
Worth the time. Only takes like 3 hours. You can do it in a flight.
Oh.
It's really good.
You're going to make me download that. Y'all, I wish y'all could see that. I'm going to take a video of Bo doing it.
You're going to take that. You know what? You can put it on the Instagram story. I'll do it right now for the people to see. And I'm going to recreate this. So, like, if you listen to the podcast, you'll be able to go to @VGoodwill on the Instagrams, and you will see me talking about this, where I was thinking about what it looked like if Pascal Siakam is got the ball in front of you. You're afraid you're going to get elbowed in the face, because next thing you know, it sounds like, old gangly arms. He looked like he doing a bird.
Dude, you are literally longer than this room.
Yes, I am. I am. I can touch all the walls. I can do that.
And still have room.
Yes. Yes.
While you're talking about Pascal Siakam?
I know.
Who am I sitting across from?
And that should tell you just how gangly Pascal Siakam is.
That's true.
That's
probably why people were talking about you at Clark.
I don't even know what they said about me at Clark.
But you were on the courts and the projects dunking.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. That's how I got space. Who else we got there? See, the West is, to me, about the West, because everybody's focused on Lakers and Clippers. And when you get to the Rockets, and the question for me is Russell Westbrook cooked?
I think Russell Westbrook is not cooked, but man, we about to start seeing put it like this. I was in Detroit when Allen Iverson had the decline.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to be that demonstrative, but it's going to be that steep.
Yeah, I think there's something. I've always said that when this starts falling, it's not going to be slow when it happens with him, right? But that is, for me, has been the thing, is the question is not whether Harden and Westbrook can play together. The question is whether Westbrook can play.
Well, as a friend of mine in the league says, there are guys who play basketball. There are good players who play basketball well, and there are guys who can't play basketball but play it well. I'm not saying that's Russ, but I'm saying if Russ is Russ is predicated on having the ball all the time, being able to operate with complete impunity up and down the floor, and not having to worry about another guy dominating the ball, and it's my team, everything with that changes.
But I think that what Russ has demonstrated through his career, though, the ability to step up and step back depending upon what was going on around him, right? And so, like, when you're playing with Paul George, you know Paul George don't want that.
True.
And Paul George appreciates Russ doing all this stuff, right? Like, you don't want that. And so I'll be curious to see, like, that one is going to be interesting. Then there are these sneaky teams in the West that we have forgotten about. Portland went to the conference finals.
Yes. Everything broke right for them to go right to the conference finals.
Except for the fact that they didn't have Nurkic, who at some point this year I'm thinking is going to be back.
Yep.
That presumably is a better team than the one that we saw them have last year. And the team that won the West has faded for obvious reasons. And nobody's really talking about Portland. Denver, second best team in the West in the regular season last year. A legitimate superstar caliber player. A lot of young dudes on the perimeter around him. Paul Millsap, who just stays good. None of us talking about them winning no championship.
We're not talking about winning no championships, but who do I have as the best team in the NBA this year record-wise? The Denver Nuggets.
I can see it. They've always got that home court advantage for the altitude, right? Like, that's always big. You could add 3 wins, basically, to their total. on the basis of the altitude.
Now, considering new developments, certain advantages are no longer as pronounced.
Yeah.
As they are.
Oh, no. I mean the actual altitude, like being a mile in the sky.
I knew what you meant.
I'm just saying, but yeah, no, I'm just making sure we was clear. But yeah, that's the other part. That's a fair point. Fair point you raised. What you got on Utah?
I like them. I'm not sure if Mike Conley was the perfect guard for them. I thought Brogdon should have been there.
I think he's the perfect guard for what they are, but not the perfect guard for what they need, because they are another team where I'm like, who's going to get his own shot?
We'll put it like this. Can Donovan Mitchell be that
guy? Oh, I forgot they got that guy. I'm not as high on him as the rest of the world.
Yes.
I'm not down on him.
Right.
But he's a volume scorer.
You don't see him as being Dwayne Wade 2.0.
No. If he was Dwayne Wade, we would have seen it by now.
I'm just saying, that's what...
Oh, yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. But I'm just saying, if he was Dwayne Wade, we'd have seen that by now. He's also not I don't think he's the defender or the athlete.
He's an athlete. But he's only 6'1".
Oh, he's... Okay, no. This is a problem.
He's getting up, but he's starting from a much lower place.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, he's more athletic than I realized because he's taller than I realized. But no. This ain't going to be what people want it to be.
Well, here's my thing. Going back to Denver. Remember they drafted a kid last year who didn't play?
And I am hearing great things about him.
I want to see him play. You talk about a 6'10 dude who can get his own shot. And you're talking about like a quote unquote Jason Tatum type on a team that needs a Jason Tatum type.
We just haven't seen him play basketball for 2 years.
Not in college. And usually those type of things don't work out. Someone takes two whole years off.
And it's a back injury.
That's so tough, man.
But they are talking about him like they got a steal. Like they got the ultimate open box special.
And if he turns out.
If he turns out, all of this changes, right? Like, if he turns out to be a really good player, the West is wild, man.
Party crasher. And here's the thing. We haven't even talked about Zion.
We have not.
And my feelings on Zion.
Go.
I'm not going to be out here like conspiracy theorists. Someone said, Zion, they just needed an injury. I think Zion, and I heard your podcast the other day. We said, let's enjoy him for how long he has. Zion, I think, is a much better athlete than we actually give him credit for. Because I think he's going to carry that weight. I don't think he needs to necessarily lose weight. I just think his body just isn't, almost like Derrick Rose.
Right.
Derrick Rose's muscle, he was too
muscular.
Yeah,
I don't think he has weight to lose.
No, people have been saying that, though. Like, he's 285 and he needs to lose weight. No. That's going to help because he can do things that even LeBron can't. Like, LeBron can't turn his hips. Zion turns his hips and does things with his lower body that we've never, ever seen. And that New Orleans team, sans Zion, is still really good.
They got a lot of players.
Look.
It's a lot of low spades, but it's a lot of low spades.
Look, man, at some point you add them up, some of them start walking.
Yeah, right.
Josh Hart starts walking.
They're like, oh, look at that king of club. Three spades.
I can't. Look, man, me and you can't talk about spade games considering the last time we played spades.
We won, right? Or we on different teams?
No, we won different teams.
I won.
You had Jamel, and I had Smith.
Yep.
And Smith kept underbidding.
He sure did.
And I was pissed.
Had to sign the paper.
He signed the paper. I didn't. Yeah.
In his hometown, by the way.
Well, we ran into Anthony Anderson.
We did run into Anthony Anderson. I haven't talked to Ant in a while, but we did run into Anthony Anderson.
In the lobby.
Yo, Gabe, get the whole music ready. You had to sign the paper.
Thank you for your patience. A representative from the right time will be with you shortly. Your current hold time is
15 seconds.
Who else we got? What else we got going on in the West? Dallas and this team of Mark Cuban's dreams in year two of Luka.
Mm.
See, my thing with Luka is I don't know how much better he's going to get. Like, I don't know how close he is to ceiling.
Really?
Because his game is so advanced, like in a very particular way, that I don't know how much room for improvement there is on what his actual game is.
It's crazy that I think that he's more of a winning player than Porzingis is.
I think that's... I've never been as wild about Porzingis as other people have been.
Wait, do you realize what city we're in?
Oh, yeah.
In the love affair that they had? Or
Had. Past tense. He's going to find out what it is when he comes back.
Oh, I think he's going to get the cheers.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. If they do, it'll be telling.
And New York doesn't tell on itself?
That's fair.
Like November 7th or something like that. It's coming up quick.
No, you're right. That's fair. By the way, Sacramento, they could make the playoffs.
They could. And
after Buddy Hield flamed the whole city, only to sign an extension 2 days later.
And but you got to think, Buddy is like 27. He had to sign the extension.
Oh, yes, he is. Yeah, he can't. He cannot be assured of another contract. He old as hell.
Yeah, I got to take this bread right now.
He old as hell. I don't know what San Antonio is going to be. Minnesota. Andrew Wiggins is messing everything up. Because Karl Towns, and I have been critical of Karl Towns, and he's easy to laugh at in a lot of ways. Karl Towns is so good. I thought Jimmy had broke him. It's like, no, he just needed to be away from Jimmy. Got it. Karl Towns is so good. And Andrew Wiggins is the number one overall draft pick bust who walks among us. He's not Anthony Bennett, but he's a bust.
Well, what did your dad say about Josh Smith?
Josh is talented, but sorry. That's what he said. Josh is so sorry. Talented, but sorry.
Andrew Wiggins was like a minus 30 last night.
Yo, hold on. Let me find that. I sent it on Twitter a little earlier. Let me find exactly what it does right here. Wiggins on the floor, 36 minutes. They had a 97.5 offensive rating and a 131.3 defensive rating. It was a negative 33.7 net rating with Wiggins on the floor. In the 17 minutes he was off, they had a 120 offensive rating and a 52.5 defensive rating, a plus 67.5. As my man Micah Adams says here, a nice casual swing of 101.2 points per 100 possessions. That's the difference between having Andrew Wiggins on the floor and having him off the floor.
And we don't even know who was playing in his place.
Right. He's, you know what he is, honestly, and apparently this kid has improved, and I need to check more on it. Wiggins is quietly no different than Jahlil Okafor. Where the numbers are good, he looks good, everything seems okay, except the team is so much worse when he's on the floor.
I mean, think about it. If you're a coach, and think about this, when Andrew, because we were cool, when LeBron came back, we were like, wait a minute, Wiggins is the guy that Cleveland should hold on to.
Yes.
The wing defender that should take the pressure off of LeBron.
We at the least thought he would be able to defend.
And that's the one thing that he does not do.
No, and Minnesota gave him 30 a year. Like, that was everything. They should have been able to recover nicely off that Kevin Love trade, right? They got back the number one overall pick that year. They should have been fine.
And all it took was one Andrew Wiggins conversation with the owner. Andrew, are you going to try hard?
I'm gonna try to get this money. Yeah, you got it.
Cool. Here's your pen.
And then it went. Now, before we go, we just been rolling. You know we've been doing this an hour now?
Really?
Yeah, we on a roll, baby.
Dang, you're right.
Crazy, right? What do you think of the Golden State Warriors?
The most interesting team in the league.
I have no answer.
I never bought into the whole Klay Thompson's going to be back around the All-Star.
Oh, that's stupid.
Like, wishful thinking. Like, I was there when that knee I was mortified.
Well, like, my thing on that was, like, yo, you know, they shut Balco down, baby. They ain't still in business. I know it's the Bay, but, you know, they don't do that.
Barry Bonds do be at the games, though.
Looking light. Lighter.
Head smaller.
A little bit.
Okay, so here's the thing. And I get that you got to fill that arena up. But we're going to lose one of the prime years left of Stephen Curry's career on a team that may not make the playoffs? That's what we're going to do? I told you a couple podcasts ago, this should be the low management year for Steph.
I can see it.
They're going to come anyway. They're going to come to see the arena anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You got Draymond out there. You got D'Angelo out there. Steph should play 60 games this year.
Let me tell you this. I've heard people say that this is the year they want to see, like, Steph put up the big numbers. It's just like Steph Curry unleashed. Steph going to get like 35 points a game or something like that. Not if D'Angelo Russell has something to say about it. D'Angelo Russell is viewing this the exact same way. The same way that you look at Klay not being there for Steph, that's how D'Angelo Russell looks at it not being there for him. He's like, oh, yeah, no, that's more shots for me. Got it, baby. I also don't have much of an idea who else is on that team.
Well, here's the thing. How good is D'Angelo Russell?
Well, whatever good he was last year, he was good at a usage rate of 30. Like, that's my question is, how good is D'Angelo Russell if he's not taking all the shots? What's he giving you if he's not doing that?
Well, the thing is, he doesn't get to the line.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. It's not like he doesn't take a lot of mid-range shots, and he's not like this. I thought he would be a much better distributor at this level, because I thought at Ohio State, I thought he was a really creative passer. And then he's like, oh, I can shoot threes here.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, I'm going to shoot threes here. So I'm very curious to see how those two are going to work out. But, man, I mean, I want to see how the Golden State thing works out. But it's going to be a lot of teams, like, hitting them on the way down for the beatdowns that they've been catching for the past 5 years.
No, you're right. Now, I want to make another point, just bring this up before we get out of here, while we talk about Zion and Zion not being there, you know, because that's a big disappointment for the league. Since we're not going to be looking at Zion, I am very much so looking at
flex scheduling?
Flex scheduling, yes, but I am also very much so looking forward to directing that rookie attention to Ja Morant. I want to see how this goes.
I like him.
He was so incredible to watch. Like, is he good? We'll find out.
Well, here's the thing. We are just being introduced to a mid-major college kid who's the second pick in the draft. And he's like, oh, I've been doing this. Y'all just got here.
Yes.
And I'm playing in Memphis with Jaren Jackson, who's another guy who I really, really like. They're like, oh, okay, y'all want to come aboard? Come on down and kick it with us.
Yep.
Oh, that's gonna be fun.
Dude, he was out here getting triple-doubles consistently in college. Some of your favorite college programs have never seen a player get a triple-double.
Not never. And he does them easy. And he doesn't even have like a pro body. We talk about Zion, we talk about pro body and all this other type of stuff. Ja's like wiry, but he just gets it.
And he's here to yam on you.
Yes, he is.
That is what he showed up to do. Like, Memphis is like, nah, we're going to do this. We'll figure this out.
Wait. What about RJ?
RJ looked good last night.
They're trying him at point.
If you can get RJ not to take a bunch of jumpers, RJ can be very good. Like, I bet you, I would not, like, if I was running practice, if I was Fizdale, I'd be running practices where I'm like, hey, man, you're not allowed to shoot.
Not allowed to shoot, but not saying you're not allowed to score. You're just not allowed to shoot.
Yeah. But just to get him to not do that stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when you make somebody dribble with their left hand all day long, like that kind of stuff. Cause RJ's wild talented. He just got the thing I said about Duke, and maybe it'll be different in the league, is you always had to remember is he didn't sign up to play with Zion.
He signed up to be the guy.
Nobody thought Zion was going there. That's not what he signed up for. And then it wound up happening. I think there's maybe a little less of that now. That he's in the place that he's in.
And he's playing on the team with Marcus Morris.
Yeah, in check.
Rookie, stop shooting. Okay.
Will you please let go of my shoulders? That would be greatly appreciated. Is there anything else NBA related that I feel like we need to like get to while we do this on our fantastic NBA preview?
Besides the fact that the Bulls would not have won the 94 championship with Scottie Pippen as their best player, are you out of your mind?
I don't know why people keep pushing this idea that they were going to win the championship.
I saw Stephen A is my guy, and they must be indebted to Scottie to say that or something like that. Because that is the most ridiculous assertion I have ever heard in my GD life.
That's actually more ridiculous than the reality that even if Jordan had played, the Rockets would have won the championship in 94.
They probably would have.
I don't know why people think that's so crazy.
Because Jordan never lost, allegedly.
They ain't have nobody that could do
that. There's no film of Jordan ever losing. Not to a team from Detroit, not to Orlando, not nobody, not never. Not never. Jordan never lost. Undefeated, never lost. LeVar Ball.
Hey, man. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We try to do this thing a couple times a week. My man Gabe Bassane handles everything behind the scenes. Thank you, sir. Thank you, my man Vinny Goodwill. Check him out. Yahoo Sports, you doing the podcast again this year? Or was it TV? The video?
Yeah. I was doing TV last night with Gary Payton.
Oh, yeah, dude. One day we'll do the Uncensored podcast where you can talk about all that stuff.
It's a lot of stuff to talk about too.
Oh, I'd imagine. Also, check out our brand new podcast, ESPN Daily, hosted by the homie, Mina Kimes. Monday through Friday, she takes a look at the most interesting stories at ESPN in just 20 minutes. Listen and subscribe now to ESPN Daily. Also, subscribe to The Right Time, wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to think you are a hater. And I'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.